It's your boy, Too Real, taking over the intro today because today's another special episode of The Daily Dose. If you ain't in the BC Club, you don't get this. But we're giving it to you for free today. Listen up, my main man, Pastor Joey Svensson, is talking to a couple about sex. That already seems cringy, right? So listen in. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait. Now, today's episode is sponsored by 8 Sleep. Get $150 off your purchase when you go to 8sleep.com/badchristian. Today's show is also brought to you by Marriage Supply. Marriage Supply, go there. Get all your adult sex products that you want with none of that porn stuff. It's a good place to go check out, and it's a fun place to go check out, and I just happen to work there. So, you know it's going to be fun. Also, go to emeryland.com. Well, I don't know if we actually have that one. Somebody stole it from us. Go to Emory Music instead. emorymusic.com. Check it out. We have Emory Land, which you can join and help us put out our new record. As soon as you join, you immediately get our brand new EP, which is the best EP we've ever done. I think we've only done like one or two of them. But seriously, the best one we've ever done. You're going to love it. Let's get to the show, Pastor Joe.
So you see, you're tired of feeling alone. It's not your fault. You can't get what you want. How many times has it been said? Kid, you're just stuck in your head. But I'm praying, what does that even mean? When I can't tell you what I believe. And today is harder than most. That's why I need my daily
So we're here with Kristen and Jesse, and we actually, I'm a little nervous about how to set this up because I think it was Toby on a Bad Christian podcast episode. We were talking about sex and frequency of sex and how I guess it was probably sex is good, like have at it because it's a good thing. But here's what makes me nervous is, y'all check this out, back in, it must have been 2010, 2009, something like that. Priscilla and I, my wife and I, we were leading a small group, and we literally had about 16 couples, and I remember proposing this challenge. And I think it would have been okay if they were all super close friends, but there were some people there that we didn't know that well, we didn't know their situation, and we just kind of, I will not throw Priscilla into this. I flippantly put the challenge out there for everybody to have as much sex as possible. And I think we may have even put some goals in there and everything. And here's why I think that that is an unwise thing to do. And I'm hoping that that Toby proposed it better on the podcast, is it's not taking into consideration anything about that couple, whether or not one of them had been abusive to the other person, whether or not one of them is completely emotionally absent from the other, and presenting that challenge, having no knowledge of that couple and where they're coming from, where they're currently at, can be problematic, especially when people hear me, oh, the small group leader, this is what he's saying, and that sort of BS approach to leadership by just buying into it. But how did we present it on the show? Did you guys find it a healthy proposition? And it seems like you did, because you took up on it.
Well, actually, I was listening at work, and the guys were ribbing on you a little bit that you gave this horrible recommendation to your small group. And
I did talk about that.
Yeah. Gotcha. And so I was just kind of laughing because it kind of seems like, you know, you go to pastors for advice and guidance sometimes, and their solution a lot of times is, well, Kristen, you need to take care of your husband better.
Right.
That's kind of like the default. So when Toby came around and said that, he was kind of laughing and going, you know, at 43 years old, I can't imagine doing it every day for a week. So that's kind of how it went. And so I just kind of reached out to Kristen and I said, hey, these guys are joking around about this. We should try it just to see, because we've had so many ups and downs in our, you know, in our intimacy due to having kids and career stuff and, all that. But That's pretty, I mean, it was proposed as Toby or Joey, you did some horrible guidance in your small group. And I kind of wanted to take it on as a challenge of, you know, I can do this. I'm still young.
Yeah. Because for Priscilla and I, like, I would honestly say that one area in which we've progressed, or at least I have, is I don't feel guilty about not having enough sex anymore. Like, sex was something that's like, once you get married, you better have a lot of it or you're not living in God's will. I have shed that. I don't think Priscilla ever had it. But I think, and it would probably be better having her on the podcast. We couldn't work it out logistically. But I think we would both say that when we are having more sex, it's certainly not a bad thing. I would take it a step further and say, I think we would both say, yeah, we're better off, given the context that not one person's not pressuring the other person or complaining all the time about not having enough, but it's a completely mutual decision of having more sex. It's never come back and bit us in the butt. So what's, oh, go ahead.
When Jesse brought it to me, my background is that I'm a mental health counselor, specifically a marriage and family therapist.
And you have a PhD as well, right? Yeah.
Okay. So I spend a lot of my time with couples, specifically Christian couples, and they come to me and there is a lot of this, this guilt and this anticipation that if they talk, especially women, if they talk to me about where they're at, that they're going to be pressured into sleeping with their husband, and purely treating it like it's a behavioral issue. And yep. So I was very interested to see what my own process would be walking into this, knowing that I was fully engaged, wanting to succeed, and really felt like the pressure was off, even though I was committing myself to this process. And I kind of wanted to see what that was like. And if that really, if the behavioral change had any real impact on the experience on an emotional and relational level.
Yeah.
So
yeah, totally.
That's why I committed.
Cool. And so,
I lost you. We lost audio.
Can you hear me now?
Now I can.
Yep. Cool. So for, like going into this, then I do want to get into, like get a little deeper with the purpose and all of that. But before we do that, Give our listeners, so you have a PhD, so you guys, I some people are weird about their ages, so y'all don't have to give your ages, but 30s, 40s?
I'm 36.
36?
I'm 43.
Okay, 43. And then what sort of background do you have when it comes specifically to religious teachings and sex? Like, and it just a snapshot, and I think our listeners will be able to pick up rather quickly with where you guys came from, because you know we've all experienced some sort of upbringing with spirituality and sex.
Right. Yeah, I was raised Catholic, and yeah. Sex was wrong. Was pretty much how it was taught to me. Obviously, going into high school and whatnot, I strayed far away from what I was taught, and
yeah.
Had lots of partners and activity and whatnot. Becoming a Christian and committing to a, you know, monogamous relationship, had its struggles, just kind of wrapping my head around that. But, we've definitely walked through this together, and, it's been a growing experience for me. I can't speak for Kristen, but.
So I grew up with a single mom who would have called herself Christian because she dropped me off on Sunday mornings and made me go to church.
Right, right.
I became a Christian when I was 18, and by that time I had had numerous sexual partners. When I became a Christian, the pendulum swung the complete opposite direction, to the point where on our second date, I basically sat Jesse down and said, "You're not going to get in my pants. Don't even try. You won't have sex with me till you're married. If that scares you, run away now."
Yeah.
And to be frankly honest, I did not uphold that agreement with him. But
he was just too hot, right? I mean, you just couldn't resist.
And he liked me. You know, that was the first time someone had actually liked me. And so,
right.
But that's kind of my background with sex. I have some very deep spiritual beliefs about the covenant of marriage and sex, even though I didn't uphold that as a young kid.
So did I hear you correctly, Kristen, that you guys went into this then not necessarily out of like commitment to what God would have for your marriage, but rather how can this affect us for the better? Maybe it would be beneficial.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Cool. Well, let me, what I would like to do is give our listeners a little bit of a background. I'll just read part of y'all's email that you've been married for a little more than 13 years. You have 6 children together. Holy cow. 3 boys, 3 girls, sincerely struggled in your sex life. Communication has been weird. Wax and wane individually on what you want and seem to miss each other in the bedroom. Sex has become routine and very infrequent. So basically, you guys shot me an email saying, hey, y'all called for some participants that would be willing to share their experiences and trying to commit to having more sex. This was y'all's initial email, kind of giving your background and that sort of thing. What happened? How did it go?
Well, it started off gangbusters. I mean, we jumped right in and the first night it was like, yeah, we're going to take this thing head on, and who's going to stop it even a week? We're going to keep doing this, you know? And I'll be honest.
And your initial goal was what? Once a day or just as much as possible?
Once a day for a whole week.
Gotcha.
Because when we committed to this, I was scheduled to leave town exactly a week later. So we were just like, we'll start it at 1 week. I'll go out of town for the weekend and come back. And this is going to be a lifelong pursuit of sex.
Yeah.
And as you said, with the 6 kids, I mean, that's been over the 13 years, 6 kids. So if you do the math, that's every 18 to 22 months we've had a child. So
yeah,
I think that's been a huge thing and not being able to just be free in sex. So going into this week, it was like the first day was fantastic. The second day, we went like rock stars.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, the next day I kind of felt bad because Kristen was uncomfortable and we probably drank too much and whatever.
So basically, I mean, I think this is super important though. So you're not only saying that you guys were having sex, it was really good at times.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Couple days.
And so couldn't you make the argument that if you guys would have not set out on this journey, simply put, you would have missed out on some really good sex?
Yes, oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
So it's before we even get to y'all's final conclusion or assessment, a lot of good came out of this. I mean, good sex is really good.
Absolutely. And I like going back to where we've missed in the past. I mean, we've had dry spells that have lasted like 9 or 10 months.
Yeah.
And I typically tend to be the one going, this is not okay. This is not okay. We're not healthy. From the mental health clinical standpoint, I'm like, something is wrong with us. What's going on in the background? And really like pushing to make sure that we have sex. And then those times don't feel enjoyable at all, because you can tell they're just out of this feeling of obligation. So this time when we were coming together, both mutually agreeing to it, I mean, I think Jesse proposed it to me as a joke, and I was like, ah! Like, I felt like the hallelujah chorus started up. This is really good for me. So we jumped right in and it was really good. Yeah, the pressure was off. I felt like this joke about, are you willing to do this? To me, just seemed like it was my opportunity to have what I had been kind of on and off wanting throughout the duration of our relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when we went into it, it honestly felt like a miracle that we were on the same page.
All right, before we go any further, we got to talk about something very important, and that is your sleep. From where I'm sitting, I've been seeing lots and lots more studies and research and talk about sleeping being more important than we've thought, and we're just now learning more about it. It's still something that was kind of not very well understood, but listen to these studies from Harvard and Johns Hopkins. They say chronic sleep deprivation has been shown to lead to depression, diabetes, obesity, and cardiovascular disease. So They're saying now we need 8 hours of sleep, and one of the biggest problems to sleep turns out to be temperature. So it's tough to get good sleep if you're too hot or you're too cold. So that's why I'm going to tell you about one of our sponsors, 8Sleep. The Pod by 8Sleep is a high-tech bed designed specifically to help you achieve optimal sleep fitness. It was developed by leading sleep researchers after tracking 43, you hear this right, million hours of sleep. They tracked 43 million hours of sleep. It combines dynamic temperature regulation and sleep tracking to enhance your rest and recovery. So the thing actually learns your sleep habits, and then it starts to adjust the temperature for you automatically. So let's just say you like the bed cool and your partner likes it warm. You can have both. You can have both at the same time. And it's a crazy comfortable bed. So, you know, you'll sleep longer, you'll sleep deeper, you'll wake up refreshed, and you'll be ready to take on the world. And I think this is pretty sweet. You can try the Pod for 100 nights, and if you don't love it, they'll refund your purchase and arrange a free pickup. They already sold out of their first two batches, so they're going really fast. And for a limited time, you can get $150 off your purchase when you go to 8sleep.com/badchristian. EIGHT sleep.com/badchristian. One more time. Here we go. 8sleep.com/badchristian. Right on.
And would you say that going into this, what about your relationship just in general? Like, I mean, after as many years of y'all have been married, it seems like, you know, if a couple sets out to do something like this together, y'all got to have some decent communication, some decent oneness to be able to say, huh, let's try a sex experiment together. I mean, y'all have a decent relationship.
So can I start? Can I answer these?
You can answer these.
So, I mean, we've had a lot of ups and downs through our relationship. Our relationship started out in a very insecure place. We have his older son, his first son from his first marriage.
Yeah.
Who came to live with us a month after we got married. It wasn't something that I thought I was signing up for. And out of pure selfishness, I felt like I had lost this ideal marriage that I wanted, and was now a permanent stepmom to an 11-year-old at the age of 23.
Yeah.
And so that really started us in the direction of missing each other, because there was a lot of pressure and stress on learning to parent full time and understanding each other. It seemed like once he got out of the house, Jesse will speak about his own struggles, but he had his own stuff that was going on in the background that had nothing to do with me, but that very much impacted the security of our marriage and our relationship. And my responses to that were quite irrational and emotional. Yeah. And so even though we very much loved each other, we had very little coping skills.
Gotcha.
And communication was just always strained. And then about 2 years ago, I actually was involved in an emotional affair.
Yeah.
And never went physical, but by addressing that emotional affair and really deciding that that's not what I wanted, it really allowed us to survey our marriage, our relationship, and determine what exactly is this and who are we and what are we about. And I would say that that experience 2 years ago really forced us to get real about our communication.
Yeah. We've been
married for 11 years. We have 6 kids together. What on earth are we doing together? And since that time, the communication between us, I think, has become a very healthy, balanced communication. There's been little bumps in the road, but the way that we've handled them have been more about problem solving together rather than seeing each other as the enemy, which the first 11 years was, it's you, it's me. It was all over the place. And so now I would say, because we've had that 2 years of really healthy communication, we went to therapy, we sought counsel from a few other sources. I feel like our relationship is at this place where we know that it's incredibly secure.
Yeah.
And there is no there's none of that stuff going on in the background for me anyway. And right. So I'm able to speak openly and talk about my hopes and dreams, my fears, my concerns. And I don't feel like there's a tug of war going on anymore. So yeah. That's how we got to today, I would say, over the course of our 13 years, if he wants to add.
Yeah, I loved how you framed that up. I mean, it's almost like, I think for me, a game changer recently in our marriage has been just like when you take two people from two different backgrounds, two different ways of life, I mean, and then those two people decide to make a life together, like, please just accept that you are embarking on the hardest journey ever that can be very rewarding. And Priscilla and I now are reflecting on 17 years of marriage, a lot of those years just being so hard. But now really, you know, we always believed that sticking it out through the good and bad would amount to like a lot of good. And now it's like we're actually seeing that. Like, I mean, there were times when it would have been way easier to get a divorce. There were times when Priscilla did not like her husband. I did not like my wife. And love was the last thing we felt. I mean, we may have been intentional in saying, I'm going to commit to you, I'm going to love, but it wasn't like this feeling that we could access all the time. And so it really sounds like, I mean, just hearing what you said and putting it into words briefly, it sounds like y'all just kind of became real, completely honest, took the pressure off. And it's like, if we're in this and we're serious, then let's be serious and let's actually talk about this and figure things out. And so maybe if y'all would have done this 2 years, you probably wouldn't have done it 2 years ago. And if you did, it probably would have been a mistake.
Right. And I think that being able to come to the place where I was honest about what I was thinking and feeling, that emotional affair really came out of doing a lot of emotional dancing in the marriage, yep, and not being able to have real and honest communication. And so once that came out and there was this understanding that this is going to destroy the life that I have currently been working so hard to build, it kind of put the pedal to the metal. I mean, I kind of shared, this is where I'm at and this is what I feel, because if it's going to end, it needs to end now on authenticity, yep, not on, it doesn't need to stick together because we're being inauthentic or hiding things from each other or getting our needs met elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, while I'm I hate what that emotional affair did to Jesse and to our life, because it really did create some major changes in our life. It was like God used that to really turn us around. And I think it really is now giving our children the parents that they need. Mm.
That's so interesting, because I've seen recently a couple actually walk through a real deal affair where one of the spouses cheated on the other, and neither one of them, if they could go back in time and do it all over again, I don't think either one of them would choose the affair, but their marriage, because of a divine act of providence by God, or their approach and mentality was just perfectly suited for this, they have a way stronger marriage than they did pre-affair. I mean, because everything was like, okay, we are either going to survive and it's going to take 100% of both of us, or we are done. And there was only two options. And because they chose survival and let's figure this out, I mean, every rule that you had on your marriage is out the window when we're talking about an affair. Like certain things you should say or shouldn't, things you should keep from your spouse, things you shouldn't. I mean, all of that stuff is just nonsensical when you're talking about an affair. It's like, no, everything is on the table. Two human beings that we don't get any privacy, any secrecy. No, you're not entitled to your secret opinions even almost. It's like get everything on the table, because it's either that or abort. And get out completely. All right, guys, Indochino suits. This is a no-brainer. I have an Indochino suit, and it's the best suit that I've ever owned because it was made just for me. I actually went online, went through their video instructions that were very helpful, very easy to use, made my own measurements, sent them in. Next thing you know, I've got a suit sitting at my front porch, and the shipping was free, and the suit fits perfectly. Indochino is the world's most exciting made-to-measure menswear company. They make suits and shirts to your exact measurements for, you know, just unparalleled fit and comfort. If you're looking to get married, they've got tons of options for outfits for your wedding party. Guys love the wild selection of high-quality fabrics and colors to choose from, not to mention the option to personalize details, including lapel, lining, pockets, buttons, and even writing your own monogram inside your inside pocket. I've got floral interior and a really cool thing to say about the Clemson Tigers and something negative to say about the Carolina Gamecocks inside my suit. I love showing it to people. So here's how it works. You can visit a stylist at our showroom, over 40 showrooms. I just said our showroom, like I'm working at Indochino. Well, maybe I feel like I do. And you have them take your measurements personally, or you can do it at your home online at Indochino.com. That's Indochino.com. This week, our listeners get any premium Indochino suit for just $379 at Indochino.com when entering Bad Christian at checkout. That's Indochino.com. Guys, this is 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. The shipping's free. Go to Indochino.com, promo code BADCHRISTIAN for any premium suit for just $379 and free shipping. This is an incredible deal for a premium made-to-measure suit. Once you go custom, you will not go back. I can say that from experience. All right, so 2 days into it, you just had unbelievable sex, embarking on the third day, and let me guess, Jesse, you just couldn't perform anymore. Because I'm kidding.
You're pretty close to it.
I know. I think in my age, I would start be tapping out a little bit.
Yeah, it was more the physical and mental fatigue of having a family and doing the normal run of the mill stuff each day. You know, getting the kids down to bed and finally having some alone time at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, to even start to have some intimacy with my wife at all.
Right.
So, you know, by the third day, it was like, okay, we're going to resort to just soaking this thing, you know? And,
that's our joke.
Yeah.
We have this joke called the Provo Soak. It's a Mormon maneuver. It's not really sex. It's their loophole. But
yeah. What is it? Got to tell me.
You just soak it.
You just put it in there and you don't move.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I mean, it was a little more than that, but it was definitely a more low key.
That's basically saying I'm tired as hell, but I want to be close.
Yeah. So I mean, it was good, and you know, it served purpose for Kristen, but you know, I think that what we've noticed is that being more regular about it, it's like one of us finishes and maybe the other doesn't. And right. So kind of like where, you know, where normally if there's more space in between the two of us together,
have a climax.
Yeah. And so then it's, you know, that much better because we're doing that together versus on the regular, it was like
he would, and then I'd be like, nah, I can't get there. Or I would, and he'd be like, yeah, I'm done. And so it was like almost like this every other day thing. The first 2 days were really good. That third day, I think I achieved the climax. The fourth day, I couldn't. He did. And then the fifth day, we both would rather sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really how that went. That fifth day, we just were like, I'm laying there in bed. He's laying there. There's a two-year-old in between us. And I'm like, okay, she's finally asleep. Put her in her bed, and we're just like, yeah, we're not gonna tonight. She'll just sleep right here. That's fine. You know, we're not gonna put in the effort.
Yeah, with what you guys described as far as one of you, you know, being fully pleasured and the other not. I almost wonder if over time, like more and not even daily sex, but more regular sex, if you experience that more frequently, like one person not being pleasured, so to speak, if that would become a good thing to get used to because it's more sex and you don't determine whether it was successful or not based on both of you being pleasured, because sex is kind of more, it should be at least more selfless and more giving. I'm not sure if that's a bad thing. Now, it's obviously can suck for the person that doesn't experience it, but if they're trained to be less satisfied, that could be a good thing.
So I was going to say, I am very much an achiever.
Yeah.
And I am very goal driven. I'm I got a PhD because I wanted some letters behind my name. I'm very much about not failing. And so when he would not achieve orgasm, I actually left feeling like I had not pleasured my husband. Right. No matter what he said, he's like, it's great, hon. It's just not tonight. I can't. For some reason, it wasn't about attractiveness or whether I had done enough tricks or anything. Like, there was just this inability to achieve, and I felt like he was getting in the way of me being successful.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. I actually left the experiences where he would not get off feeling totally bummed. Like, I didn't do what I set out to do. And so there were sometimes, even I can remember being in the moment of having sex where I'm like, okay, I'm about to achieve an orgasm. Where are you at? Are you going to get off? You know? And he's like, just go. And after the first time I was like, I don't want to, like, I want it to be a mutual thing. And it was this experience of tension and stress for me to be in the moment, want to achieve an orgasm, but also afraid of leaving an experience where he didn't.
Yeah.
And we toggle back and forth where sometimes he'll achieve an orgasm first and that's what sets me off, and vice versa.
Right.
And so then it's like, we don't have any like tried and true sequence of events. So I would be anxious going, what if I go ahead and let this happen and then he doesn't reach orgasm? And so we experienced that a couple of times and I felt like, man, how do we avoid this? And
I'm an acts of service guy. So so when my job was done, I said, you know, I did the thing. So.
Right. So was anything, in your opinion, at this juncture, was anything permanently redefined or reframed, such as what is a healthy amount of sex for you guys, or such as what should be your motivation for sex in the first place? Like, you guys actually set out to, regardless of whether or not people think it's a good experiment, it is a very telling experiment from the standpoint of, I mean, it seems like day two was incredibly fun. It seems like you guys got to walk through both of you not being satisfied and fully satisfied and processing that, and then work yourself to day five and y'all were legit satisfied with just being like, let's just lay down and fall asleep together. So there's so much there. Is there anything permanently changed in your perspective of your sex life?
Well, just to set the record straight, we did actually try a whole nother week
after
back from vacation on work. And when she came back, we went ahead and tried a second week.
And why? Just why? Because it was fun and a worthy endeavor, or because you felt like you failed, or you knew you were coming on? What's that?
For her, it was she failed and she hates to fail.
I hate
failure. For me, it was, hey, we didn't do what we set out to do. It was beneficial. Let's try it again just to see. And basically the same results. It was like 4 or 5 days. And then she tried to wake me up and said she was going to turn me into you and say, hey, you know, and I was
you
like,
failed it.
I said, that's fine. I failed. So, but the long lasting, I think for me is, there are times where I wish that we didn't, not that we didn't have our kids, but like that when she walks in the door and I'm triggered, like, oh man, I would love to just take her right now.
Right.
You know,
can't do that, and
you can't do that. But I think that I need to start to act on that more.
Yeah.
Versus waiting till the 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
You know, like, we might have to sneak off, and I don't know how that looks to the kids, but right. You know, that might have to happen. But also, I think that we both realized that it's not about quantity. It's about that quality time, about meeting each other's needs and wants without feeling forced into it. And I didn't feel forced because we were both in this together. But definitely trying to meet each other's needs on that need basis versus just doing it out of the necessity of
obligation. Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's interesting too, because like it seems like the church, for instance, would say try to have as much sex as possible, and there's the only alternative of that is to kind of feel bad when you're dropping the ball. And I think it's healthy for people to realize that you're not going to have great sex all the time. In fact, I would put it in the category of seasonal. Now, that doesn't mean, okay, justifiably throw your hands up in there and just say it's just out of the cards for us. Unless both people are saying, yes, we feel close together still and we don't need sex during this season of a bunch of little kids. Now, I'm acknowledging the fact there could be a unique couple and it just wouldn't matter one way or the other. But it seems like instead of, hey, here's how to have great sex all the time approaches, let's recognize it's a two-way street and subpar sex lives is a normal season. I mean, you obviously compare a honeymoon to the first few weeks after having your first child. I think the sex amount is going to be different. Why isn't that the case throughout a whole marriage? And why not? Let's just talk about that and acknowledge that when two human beings, when it comes to sexual activity, it's going to have its ups and downs, right? And there shouldn't be a problem with that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think sometimes my experiences with the church and the view of sex has been that such a double-edged sword. It's like, it's a really taboo, bad thing. We can't even talk about it.
Right.
Young people should not even know that sex exists. And then this other side, which is like, if you're not putting out for your husband at the drop of, you know, of the towel, right, then you're not a good enough wife. And maybe right, if you would just put out, he would be nicer to you.
Yeah, and I want to real quick, I want to say, well, what about when the husband recognizes that his wife is not in the mood? Should he ever say, sweetie, I totally understand that you're not in the mood, I can go without? I mean, shouldn't it go both ways? That not only should we be generous of our bodies, but we should also be we should also think about the other person's body. And if they're not in the mood, it goes both ways.
Right. And so for me, this process, like permanently, I think for me, this really helped me to define what I really want out of sex going forward. I want sex that is mutual, and I want sex that has desire built into it, where there's this kind of mutual longing for each other. So that when we come together, there is, no matter what comes out of it, that emotional connection, that deep desire for each other is really what's driving the experience.
Yeah.
So I would rather have desire one time a week and have it be an excellent experience for both of us than to be committed to the quantity of sex and that sex being mundane, routine, boring, or even feel like it is just kind of root and obligatory.
Do you having done this, do you think that there, I definitely have an opinion with this, but don't care about my opinion. Do you think that there are times between you guys where you can have really, really good sex, but there's not a whole lot of emotional romance? Like, it's just getting down to business and you both come away being like, that was just so awesome.
Yes. Yeah, that happens. And, you know, I would say in the past that was a lot of times, when we were in our darker places in our marriage, I would say that was kind of what we would go to as whatever you want to call it, makeup sex, or
so not a good thing.
Well,
it is. I would say now, because there are those times where it's more just to pleasure each other, and it's dirty, and you know, it's to just have a great night.
I don't know what else to say.
But the
but I feel like, to me, it feels different now than those dark times. Because in them, I mean, I'm just in a different place in my heart. There's a different respect and honor for my marriage. Whereas if I get away from a sexual experience like that and go, whoa, that was great, it doesn't feel as selfish or as egotistical or like focused on myself. Now as it did back then. Back then it would have been like, well, I didn't achieve an orgasm, you're awful, you know. Whereas now it's like, I could probably try this again a couple nights from now, we'll be fine.
Right.
So
right.
It's just a different mentality now. And so for me anyway, I think yes, you can get there and you can have that kind of sexual experience, but that honestly is, it might be great for you, but it's not as satisfying or pleasurable as the mutual loving, other focused type connection.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, this has been awesome. I'm really thankful that not only did you guys do this, but also willing to come back and tell the story. And you know what I learned doing this is just how healthy I think it is to have these conversations about sex really openly. I mean, I haven't had a lot of these kind of, like, I do a lot of premarital, so I, you know, talk about sex in that regard, and so it gets a little nerve-wracking because it's kind of like a counselee situation. But this is just three adults talking very openly about sex, and from a very personal perspective of you guys, I think it sounds perverted for me to say it this way, felt really good. I'm glad we did it. But it just seems to be something that there needs to be more of. Like, why wouldn't there be a whole podcast on couples coming in and just talking about their sex life, and whether the host is an expert or not. I mean, Lord knows I'm not, but maybe you could even have an expert in there that can kind of walk them through stuff. But it just seemed really like this should happen more. I don't know if y'all felt the same way, but it's a good thing to me.
I 100% agree with that. When I first entered into the clinical realm and started seeing couples and talking to them about sex, I know for me it even felt a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because our culture does treat it as something that's taboo, or they place such a heavy emphasis on sexuality as an identity. And so it was like this dichotomous, ooh, I'm talking about something, / this is all we should talk about.
Right.
And so I would come away from those first few couples sessions where we've talked about sex kind of feeling a little uncomfortable in my own skin. And now having had these conversations over and over and over, and having couples come in and go, wow, you're just so comfortable with this. Well, please excuse me. I'm sorry that, you know, that's what it's like for you, but truly, you're a couple, and this is what you're doing. This is what's going on in the bedroom, or not going on in the bedroom.
Right.
And we should be having these conversations. I think a healthy discussion about sex would help to realign a healthy worldview, really.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And
so if we had couples who were having healthy conversations about sex, what would it do for their children? What kind of conversations would they be a part of? How would they view sex? How many abusive experiences or religious abuse experiences with sex would fall to the wayside because we've discussed the importance of sexuality? I just feel like it's always a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I think what stumps a lot of people is they feel like the two things are mutually exclusive, like a reverence and honor towards sex, and then a lighthearted playfulness, let's just go to town sort of sex. And it's like you can have them both, like and you can have more of one time and more of one the other, but it's all good. Like there's got to be a level of, yes, we respect one another. This is a deeper thing that we get to share, and we can relish the moment and really focus on each other. And man, this is just so fun. And we can even talk about it the next day or right afterwards or right before, or, you know, say, do this more, do that more. Yeah, it can just be fun. You know, my gosh, we don't have any problem talking about our social health, mental health, physical health, you know, within a marriage. But it's like, oh, sex, that's when it gets hard to talk about. And it shouldn't be that way. But I understand it has to do with our naked bodies and our parts and all that stuff. And it's just an intimate thing. So it's kind of it's interesting how complicated it really is.
Yeah.
And I think for me, that's probably been one of my biggest hangups or things that have held me back from either talking with friends about my sex life or even a pastor or whatever. But like, I have not been open and honest about who I am sexually.
Right.
And even when my wife tries to talk dirty to me, I go, ew, don't do that. That's disgusting.
I said, do you want to have sex? And he said, stop talking dirty. I'm like, what? I don't understand.
You're sensitive, brah. Yeah, sensitive.
That I am. But you know,
what do you want her to say? Make love? Would that have been better? Do you want to make?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
He actually said to me one time, just don't talk about it. Just let it happen.
Just let it happen.
We're working on that.
I hear you.
As a side note, and I don't know if you want to include this in the podcast or not, but you know, the Apostle Paul says that sex is this divine mystery, and he talks about it being like the closest thing on this side of eternity that we get to understanding what it will be like to be one with God.
Right.
And it's so weird to me that the thing that represents our closeness with God is the very thing that we're afraid to talk about.
Yeah,
we're afraid to analyze and understand and bring under some sort of normalcy and create a healthy view of. And you'd think that with Paul putting such an emphasis on it, that we would go, this is really important, and we should figure this out, and we should pay homage to what it actually means. And also, I think there's some worship sessions that I've been a part of that have just been downright dirty. They're just like shirts slinging around in the air and people jumping and laughing and goofing off and enjoying and being just happy and fun and lighthearted with. And then there have been worship sessions that have been deeply emotionally just heavy. And I think that goes to show that if Paul says that it's like worship, know that if we can view worship through, like, if we can look at what other cultures are doing or how we're, you know, how these different sects of Christianity are experiencing worship, that it kind of points to the fact that it's not one way and shouldn't be regarded in one specific light.
Yeah, totally. Now, when you were talking about people partying and spinning their shirts in the air, were you thinking topless people, like they took their shirts off and then everything, and they said,
okay, I've been in worship sets, where dudes have just ripped off their shirts, sweaty dudes. You know, I'm even.
You were at a strip club, by the way, a male strip club. No. That's where you were.
That was a different night.
Yeah. No. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, Jesse calls the mosh pit his worship session, you know, like, and those types of things happen there. So.
Yeah, totally. And what I think is so crazy about what you just said, too, is our knee-jerk reaction, including, I'm ashamed to say myself, there's a part of me that when you say what you said, that and I agree, I mean, I it's right there where Paul's talking about this, I think, oh, no, that can't be how God works. I don't want to have sex with God. And it's like, that's obviously not what you or myself's talking about, but we do have sex in a different category as God, where I would say that it should be on the table of possibility while right in the middle of sex. If you don't think about God, you don't think about God, that's fine. But you could even thank God. I mean, so having sex and God separate makes no sense, but that just feels better, I think, because of how we were raised. It's like, oh, no, that's not how God does things. Gosh, no, you know?
Yeah.
Well, this has been awesome. I appreciate it. Kristen and Jesse, you guys have the whatever amount of sex you want. You are off the hook now.
Thank you. I'm hoping it's more frequent than it has been in the past.
I'm happy
with like 3 or 4 times a week.
Well, I have a theory, and that is when people listen to this, conversations about sex do something to people that aren't having a lot of sex. And so it will be interesting to see what sort of wheels this turns, because this turned some wheels in y'all's heads when we talked about it. And there is actually another couple that wrote us that they have had competitions within their small group of who has the most sex, and they report back, and it's like, there's a trophy, a very pornographic looking trophy of two Barbie dolls going at it that they get. I mean, it's like a big comical thing. So I'm going to try to catch up with them as well. Thank y'all so much. This has been awesome.
Thank you.
We truly appreciate it.
See ya.